Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Thank you for joining me for the Trumpet of Truth podcast. My name is Brother Greg Bray. I'm the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Bruce, Mississippi. Hey, neighbor. Sure is good to have you with me today. I welcome you to Trumpet of Truth podcast. Wow, I can't tell you how much response I've had to the last podcast. I started last time, or the past two, I guess I should say. We started talking about creation, evolution, God's creation, man's evolution. There's been so much response. Thank you so much. I'm not going to go through the preliminaries today and tell you where you can find the podcast, how to get in touch with me. Go listen to the last podcast and you can find that out. This is part two of God's creation or man's evolution. What's being stated in these podcasts is why we believe in creation and not evolution. So you listen to these men today. The first man that we have on is Brother Rick Tuttle. He's the pastor of Bills Lake Baptist Church in Newaygo, Michigan. So you listen to him as he talks about evolution and creation. He's going to state why he believes in creation instead of evolution.
I'd like to first share a truth within us that does not need really to be explained. It's defined as the doctrine of first truth. The word doctrine literally means the teach. So the teaching of first truth, which means, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means a statement that is not provided, but rather supposed or held as obvious. Or in other words, it's something we already know without any input from any outside source. It's something that's within our hearts and that has been put in there. For instance, in the Bible, Romans chapter 2 and verse 14 says this: when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Or in other words, God is telling them, there are some things that we believe simply because God put it in our hearts already, and the very morality that man is trying to live is a morality that has been put in their hearts. And even though they are not maybe a Christian or even a follower or believer in God, they believe in evolution, yet they still believe that there is a moral right and wrong. Where did that come from? Well, God put it there. He said that the things that are, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. So the very heart of man was created by God with the very nature, things of God. So creation is a truth that is within us, and therefore it's hard to make a simple definition as to why I believe. Because I have always believed, even before I became a Christian or a follower of Jesus Christ. When I became a Christian at the age of 15, I was never told about the Bible creation of man. But when I began to read the Bible, I remember thinking, so that is why I believe in God and what happened to man. And it began to just make sense. This goes hand in hand with the idea about the very existence of God. The Bible never gives us where God came from, or as some would say, and I've talked to many, they want to challenge the existence of God, and they say this: if God created us, who created God? Well, the Bible simply says, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There is no explanation of the pre-existence of God, because there is no pre-existence of God. And that is why when Moses went to the burning bush and he asked, who shall I say has sent me? He said, tell them I am. I am that I am has sent you. It literally means self-existence. So somehow, in the arrogance of man, we have come to believe that somehow God must explain himself. That is not so. God never asked for man's input about creation or the flood or the calling of a single man to become a special nation, later to be called the Jewish nation. When God approached Abraham, he simply gave him instructions, or he gave him commands. So sinful man, in their own arrogance, decided to make their own beliefs about where we came from. Well, I thought it was rather strange over the decades that man has been forced to lengthen the time in order for evolution to even have a chance to be right. I'm a little bit older, and I can remember in the late 60s and the 70s when I was in high school, the textbooks said that evolution occurred over millions of years. And now you look in those same textbooks revised, and they're calling for billions and billions of years, because no matter how much time is given, there is no evidence in science or archaeology, which is the study of fossils, that brings evolution any closer to be right. I was told by a very astute teacher when I was in high school, he said this, evolution and creation are both theories and should not be given to anything else until facts are established. And I believe the more that we dig, and the evolutionists have dug to try to support their theory of evolution, the more evidence that is uncovered the simple truth: in the beginning, God created. In one of the instances that I remember some years ago, and it is still ongoing today, we have been told, and you go to the Grand Canyon and they'll tell you over millions and millions of years, and if you follow a group down into the canyon, they will point out the different layers of the earth and how, you know, billions and billions of years they came into existence. Well, there was a little problem, because on May the 18th in 1980, there was a little eruption that took place in a little mountain called Mount St. Helens. And it gave modern man the opportunity for real-time observations. And that is exactly what science is. You make a thesis, and then you make observations, and then you to back that thesis. Well, the problem is, as the more they studied it, the more it settled in the act of creation is correct, and evolution is not. Trees were almost fossilized overnight. A river was formed, and there was an observed sediment, and that river formed almost a mini Grand Canyon, if you will. And the soil settled not by ages upon ages, but in groups of density, and not just over eons of times. They became compressed. And some of them that was one time just dirt are now in rock formations because of the pressure upon pressure. These facts have been suppressed because they do not meet the outcome of expected that was expected by the evolutionist. Simple observations gives to us the understanding that when God destroyed man by a flood, it was done in a short time and not over a great length of time. It is the hardness of the heart of man that we have decided to train our next generation to ignore the truths that are part of us. I realize this may not be the time to bring it up, but that is the exact reason why Florida just passed a law saying there will be no speech about sexual orientation in the grades of kindergarten through third grade. The world knows if they can train up a child to doubt God, they have won a new generation to disbelieve God. So I believe in creation because I believe the Bible. And the first truth in me was verified by that very Bible. That is my statement. I hope that'll be a little help. And when in doubt, search the Bible. It'll tell you the truth. It is God's word, and we can believe it. So for now, this is my thoughts. Thank you for allowing me to share them. This is Dr. Rick Tuttle, and I thank you. Goodbye.
Amen, Brother Tuttle. Thank you so much for contributing to the podcast today. You know, something that I noticed as he was talking is that there's a confusion in the world's thoughts about evolution. Always a confusion. I was listening to Dr. Kent Hovind. He's a creationist. Dr. Hovind made this statement that, you know, there's been so many changes in textbooks and everything that man has uncovered to prove evolution has proved God created even more. That's the way God works. God don't have to prove himself, but he has proved himself to us. Thank you so much, Brother Tuttle. Now we're going to hear from Jay Pruitt. Jay's from Pontotoc, Mississippi. He's a member at Charity Baptist Church. He's going to, let me just say this about Jay. He has studied creation and has taught on it, and I'm so thankful that I know him and appreciate him. So you listen to Jay as he tells us about creation and evolution.
I'll just give you some thoughts here on creation. It's one of my favorite subjects because I think it's pretty simple. You know, there are four basic questions of life. Who am I? Where did I come from? What's my purpose? And where will I go after I die? Your worldview, how you look at the world, is going to determine how you answer those questions. Every religion in the world attempts to answer those four questions in one way or another. But there are two major ways, two opposite ways that have been brought forth over the years as to how we answer those questions. And depending on your worldview, it's going to depend on which one you lean toward. One view looks at the world and looks at all the things that have been made and says that, you know, basically billions of years ago, there was a big bang and nothing exploded and created everything. Yeah, that's what they believe. And if you believe that, then your answers to those questions are one way. Who am I? Or you're nobody. You're just one of many beings that have evolved over millions and billions of years. Where did I come from? Well, you came from a prebiotic soup a long time ago. What's my purpose? You have no purpose. As a matter of fact, you're part of the problem. You contribute to greenhouse gases and to things like that and destroy the environment. You're actually part of the problem. And where do I go after I die? There is nothing after death. You'll go into the ground. You'll be regurgitated as, you know, an earthworm or something later. But the other worldview, the major one, is for those people, comes from those people like myself that look at the things that have been created and says, wow, what a great design. There must be a designer. And that's what we call the creationist worldview. Now, that first worldview, I don't think I said, but it was a humanist worldview. The one I'm talking about now is a creationist worldview. And your answers to those four basic questions of life are going to be much different. Who am I? Well, you're one of God's special creations. And if you're born again, a believer in Jesus Christ, you're one of God's children. Where did I come from? Well, you came from the hand of God. You came from Adam, who was formed of the dust of the ground by God. What's my purpose? Your purpose is to show forth the praise of Almighty God and to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have a specific purpose if we believe in the creationist worldview. And where do I go when I die? Well, that depends on your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, of course, you go to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell, and then eventually the lake of fire. So as you can see, depending on your worldview, your answers to those four basic questions of life could be much different. Those two worldviews, humanist, creationist, they're at war. Now, in the creationist worldview, that's not necessarily a Christian worldview. Now, for those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, it is. But there are people who believe in a creator, but they may believe it's Allah or Buddha or somebody like that. That's a separate discussion. You know, who made the world and how did he make it and when did he make it? That's kind of a separate thing than what we're talking about at this moment. But those are your two main views on creation, humanist, creationist. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven," not heavens, "the heaven and the earth." We know by studying scripture there are three heavens. There's the firmament, basically, where the birds fly. There's the second heaven, which is outer space. And then there's the third heaven, which is God's abode. Now, that was already there. So at this time in Genesis 1:1, what's he doing? He's creating outer space and the earth. And you can study why he did that. There was a specific reason that he created those things, especially the earth. If you have a creationist worldview, you believe that about 6,000 years ago, and we get that by looking at the lineages throughout the Bible. If you see, you know, so-and-so lived so long and begat so-and-so, and he lived so long and begat so-and-so. Depending on, you know, how long between Adam's creation and Adam's fall, you think it happened there, then the Bible gives us, a date of about 6,000 years ago, about 4,000 B.C. Now, I would never say 4,008 B.C. or 4,012 B.C. I don't think we should do that. But about 4,000 B.C., which is about 6,000 years ago, we believe that Genesis 1:1 took place. We believe that God acted in creation. The first three words, in the beginning, God has already created something. Time. God is outside of time. We can't even understand that. We can try to talk about it. We can't understand it because we live in a time vacuum. So to us, there's a past, there's a present, and the future, but not to God. So God created time just by saying in his word, in the beginning. So we believe he acted in creation. We believe he created the heaven and the earth. Light appeared. He created the land, the seas, and the grass. He created the stars, the moon, the sun. He used the waters to create the sea life, the birds and the fowls. He used the earth to create the cattle and the creeping things. And he used the dust of the ground to create man, and the rest is history. Now, humanist worldview, more popularly known as evolution, you know, they believe 14 billion years ago, the universe created itself. The stars came from a big bang. The sun came from a big bang. And 4.5 billion years ago, the earth was formed. They believe that the bacteria were set up on these rocks, and through torrential rains, the bacteria flowed down into water and created a primordial soup, and from there came life. Some type of tadpole creature grew legs, crawled out of there, and the rest is history. So that's the two different views. Very contradictory to one another. These views are at war. Evolutionists don't believe that there's a savior. They don't believe that there's a creator, as a matter of fact. And if there is no creator, there is no need for a savior. And so they don't have to worry about subjecting themselves to someone as Lord. Whereas we as Christians, of course, do in Jesus Christ. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. That is the foundational verse of the foundational chapter of the foundational book in the whole Bible. We know that the Bible is the most sold book in history, and we find ourselves looking at the opening statement of that book. It does not say that God made the world. It says he created the world. And there's a big difference. I can take pre-existing things and make biscuits. But those things already created were already created. God didn't do that. God created everything out of nothing. And so in Genesis 1:1, I believe on purpose, we find that the humanist worldview, the evolution theory of evolution, is debunked right here in the first verse. Now, we can only take people so far with that. I think we present the evidence, and we need to know what we're talking about. I encourage people, when I talk to them, if you don't know what you're talking about, don't talk about it. With someone who doesn't believe, don't try to have an argument. And I don't mean a negative argument. Don't try to have a deep discussion and convince people of things that you don't know about. A lot of times you'll end up like a flea in a yo-yo, and you may even doubt yourself what you believe when you're done. And you may do damage to your witness and to the cause of Christ. So we should know what we're talking about, and we should present them the biblical evidence and leave it there. So Genesis 1:1 debunks the evolution theory right off the bat. Now, a lot of the evolutionists are going to say, but everything looks old. And so they think because things look old that they are old. But is that true? That doesn't have to be true. Creation, real creation, requires the appearance of age. Adam, I believe, was fully grown when God made him. The trees that were made, I believe when God made them, they had fruit on them. They didn't have to grow. Adam and Eve, we know God can do anything he wants to, but Adam and Eve would have starved to death if they didn't have something to eat. So we believe these, even the trees that were created, were fully grown and producing fruit already. The light from the stars, which is a big thing that evolutionists get hung up on. When you start talking about light years and how long it takes light to reach the earth and, seeing dead stars and things like that. But I believe the light from the stars were seen immediately. As a matter of fact, in Scripture, the Bible says that God stretched out the heavens. I think it's Isaiah that talks about he spread it out in a span. And that's from the tip of your thumb, if you have your hand open, to the tip of your middle finger. I believe that's right. So all of creation, God just says, hey, it fits right there. That's how big our God is. The problem with a lot of this is that even Christians don't believe this. Christians tend to take what is presented by quote-unquote science and try to change the Bible or try to make the Bible fit into the science. That's backwards. We make the science fit into the Bible. We know the Bible is true. And so if the science does not support the scriptures, we know the science is faulty, not the scriptures. But there are many Christians who don't believe that. And so we've ended up with things like the day-age theory and the gap theory. Those were created by Christians. And they were created to try to resolve what science has said to the scriptures. How can we fit all these millions of years that scientists say we have and all the dinosaurs and their life and death into the Bible? Well, we make the days ages. Or we add a gap of time between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. We shouldn't do that. There's no need. People ask me, when did the dinosaurs live? Well, they lived with man. They lived with Adam and Eve. God created them. Adam named them. What about the flood? Well, they were on the boat. The big ones are big and the small ones are small. Somebody said, hey, Noah just had to make sure to get a pink one and a blue one. No problem. But we believe that, in regards to the flood, and I won't spend a lot of time here, I've got to wrap it up, but we believe, with regard to the flood, there was a water canopy around the earth, and that's where most of that water came from. And if that's the case, what a different world we would have had before the flood in Noah's day, which was a worldwide flood, by the way, not a local flood. There's no such thing as a local flood. Just think about it. I mean, once it gets over the top of the mountains, where does it go? There is no local flood. There's it had to be a worldwide flood to destroy all of that. And so we know that there would have been a very different environment. There would have been much less radiation, much less of the sun's rays coming through. There would probably have been less carbon-14, which is going to debunk carbon dating. Carbon dating does not work, and we can talk about that at a later time. But different environment, a lot more oxygen. It'd been like a greenhouse. Plants would have flourished. Reptiles never stopped growing anyway. They would have grown and grown and grown, and so dinosaurs was no big deal. So that's where dinosaurs fit in. But people get hung up on these days, and they say that Hebrew word for day, yom, can mean a period of time, and it can. And we as Christians should not say that it can't, because that's not true. It can mean a period of time. But guess what? That word is always defined by the context. And let's look at the context in Genesis 1:5. And the evening and the morning were the first yom, day. What's the context? An evening and a morning. Those were 24-hour days. As a matter of fact, when God created, you know, the plant life and things like that on one day and created the sun on another day, what would have happened to the plant life if it didn't have the sun for thousands or millions of years? It would have died. So we see that even common sense tells us that those are 7 literal days. And even if you don't believe that, you know, they always point to the account in Genesis, those days there, meaning ages of time. Well, that's not the only place that God talks about it. In Exodus 20:11 says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day." That's in Exodus, not Genesis. It says he did it in 7 days. Romans 5:12. Listen to this. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. There was no death until sin came." We know, and there's no discussion on, there's no argument on this, sin came from Adam and Eve's disobedience, specifically Adam's, and he knew what he was doing. But there was no death until sin. And so having the dinosaurs live and die before man was even created goes against what Scripture says. It says there was no death until sin. So nothing could have lived and died before Adam and Eve sinned. Also, if you look at Matthew 19:4, this is Jesus, says, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Did Jesus, there's only two options here, I guess. Either Jesus knew what he was talking about, or he was confused. Which one do you believe? Because he said that God made male and female at the beginning, not after millions and billions of years. And that male and female can get you into a whole different argument in our day in which we live with transgenderism and things like that, which we don't, of course, put our stock in. There's only two genders, male and female. That's what the Bible says. But Scripture is very simple. We make it too hard to, you know, I believe it was maybe Felix or Festus, you know, said, told Paul, of course he was wrong, Felix or Festus, whoever said it was, but he said, "Much learning hath made thee mad." But that's a lot of times what I think we end up doing. We make it too difficult. We make the gospel too difficult. The gospel is simple. It's not easy. It was not easy. It cost the Son of God his life. But it's simple. Repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it, if we're going to believe the Bible. Scripture is simple. Most of the words Jesus spake were 2 or 3 syllables. "It is well." "Peace, be still." "It is finished." The Bible is simple. We make it too hard. Genesis 1:1, that's what we started with, says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Was it the beginning? Did God do it? That's what you have to figure out. Do you believe that? If you don't, I encourage you to pray and ask God to give you direction. And if you're born again, He will. He will give you direction. He'll give you, most of the time, He will lead you right into those things that you sincerely want to know if you're doing it with an earnest heart. So I encourage anybody, you know, that may be listening, if you don't believe in what the Word of God says and in the simplicity of Scripture, just ask God about it. And you'll find that Scripture is very simple. We just make it too difficult. Sometimes much learning has made us mad. But it's been a pleasure to talk about creation for just a few minutes. There's so much more we could talk about, the different theories that even Christians have, even creationists have, carbon dating, dinosaurs. There's so much that we can talk about. And then get into the flood and that account, where these rock layers came from, and you know, things like that. But those four basic questions of life is what it goes back to. Who am I? Where did I come from? What's my purpose? And where do I go when I die? How you answer those questions is going to depend on where you spend eternity, I believe. God bless you.
Thank you so much to these two dear brothers, Brother Rick Tuttle, Brother Jay Pruitt. Thank you so much for giving us your thoughts and basing your thoughts on what the Bible says. I'm not going to say a lot. This podcast has been longer. I wanted it to be. I wanted us to get all that we could get. But I do want to say this. Thank you for joining today in the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your comments. I love all of you, and I'll see you later.